Text number 23, chapter 17. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atava deva maya ya nunam gatir agochara cetaso vachasachapi bhutanam iti nischaya atava deva maya ya nunam gatir agochara Chetaso vachasachapi Bhutanam iti nischayaha Attava Alternatively Deva. Does this have a button or is it on or it's on for the kitchen? Okay. The Lord Mayaya Energies. Nunam. Very little. Gatihi. Movement. Agochara. Inconceivable. Chetasa. Either by the mind. Vachasaha. By words. Cha. Or. Api. Also. Bhutanam. Of all living beings. Iti, thus. Nishchayaha, concluded. Translation. Thus it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A question may be raised as to why a devotee should refrain from identifying an actor, although he knows definitely that the Lord is the ultimate doer of everything. Knowing the ultimate doer, one should not pose himself as ignorant of the actual performer. To answer this doubt, the reply is that the Lord is also not directly responsible for everything is done by his deputed Maya Shakti, or material energy. The material energy is always provoking doubts about the supreme authority of the Lord. Personality of religion knew perfectly well that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Lord, and still he was put into doubts by the deluding energy, and thus he refrained from mentioning the supreme cause. This doubtfulness was due to the contamination of both Kali and the material energy. The whole atmosphere of the age of Kali is magnified by the deluding energy and the proportion of its measurement is inexplicable. Right, Bhagavad Gita. Atava deva mayaya Nunam gatir agochara chetaso vachasaschapi bhutanam iti nischayaha. Thus it is concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. Interesting juxtaposition of these two verses. Yesterday's verse was Maharaj Pariksit speaking. So the bull and the cow have completed their testimony. Who did it? We can't say who did it. Some say this, some say this, some say this, so we can't say. Maharaj Parikshit then speaks and says, this is proof that you are the personality of religion, because you're following the principle that the destination intended for the perpetrator of irreligion or of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. That was yesterday morning's class. And interesting purport. The idea is if you involve yourself in the karmas of a fruitive worker and identify on the material platform, you're by doing so, you're sucked into the actions and reactions of the material energy. So a transcendentalist stays aloof to the actions and reactions of the material energy by not being a participant in them, in the blaming and fault-finding program. Rather, in other words, a devotee has no suffering at all, because such so-called suffering is God's grace for the devotee who sees God in everything. The cow and the bull never placed any complaint before the king for being tortured by the personality of Kali, although everyone lodges such complaints before state authorities. The extraordinary behavior of the bull made the king conclude that the bull was certainly the personality of religion, for no one else could understand the finer intricacies of the codes of religion. This particular point is the principle of religion, that the destination intended for the perpetrator of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. Maybe the language is that one identifies with being the victim, and there's the perpetrator, and then one's caught up in that cycle. Then he says, text 23, Maharaj Parikshit, the Lord's, it is to be concluded that the Lord's energies are inconceivable. No one can estimate them by mental speculation or by word jugglery. The implication is twofold. The energies of the Lord are carrying out the will of the Lord. We'll explore them both. The second one is the energies of the Lord are bewildering even the personality of religion. So we'll deal with the first one first. The energies of the Lord are carrying out the will of the Lord. So he doesn't have to act directly, rather he simply wills and his energies carry out his will. Three verses from Bhagavad Gita. Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. By his adyaksha, by his supervision, he has a very powerful vision, supervision. He just oversees things and things happen. By his glancing upon the material energy, it starts to move. And it doesn't move until he glances. It's dormant. He infuses, by his glance, he infuses the dormant material energy with life, with living entities, and with his time energy, and the karma of the living entities, and everything starts to happen just because he glances. Thank God for his glance, because nothing would happen without his sanction, his adyaksha, his supervision. And Thus all moving and non-moving beings come into existence, stay for some time, and again are annihilated. Things happen because of the powerful glance of the Lord. Another verse in Bhagavad Gita is where Krishna explains, as it explains in the purport, that everything that happens is happening by the agency of the Lord's prakriti. So his glance starts everything moving, and the moment by moment enactment of events is also going on by the agency of the Lord's prakriti. In in material consciousness, persons are thinking, I'm doing things, and others are doing things, and others are causing bad events to happen, others are causing good events to happen, not seeing the remote cause of the Supreme Lord, nor seeing the influence of the material energy, just seeing people are doing things or not doing things, they're doing good or bad. And just so the previous verse is on the principle that here's a wrongdoer, then one has simultaneously forgotten the Supreme Lord, generally, and the material energy and how the material energy is doing things. But Krishna's advice in Bhagavad Gita is one should not think like that. The kartritvam the karmani lokasya srijate prabho. This is 5:14 Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, the embodied spirit soul, the master of the city of his body. We're in the body, and in one sense, the master of the city of the body. But the spirit soul does not create activities. Spirit soul doesn't induce others to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. We don't do things, we don't cause the fruits of what we do, and we don't induce others to act. And how do all those three things happen? All this is enacted by the modes of material nature, swabhava tu pravartate. Swabhavas tu pravartate. Material nature is conducting all these things. So a more precise or more accurate explanation of things happening is material nature is making acts happen, because material nature is inducing people to act. And material nature is producing the fruits of action. All this is being carried out by material nature. And so, if you can recall from the previous discussion, one of the philosophies is the Karma Mimamsa philosophy is everything is dependent upon action, not seeing the remote cause. So that's not a full explanation either. It's an atheistic explanation. Material nature is causing things to happen, that's true. But then there is a remote cause. So, there's another verse in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita where Krishna describes that there are five factors of action. Any of our scholars here know what those five factors of action are? Huh? What are the five factors of action? Rupa Sanata? Yes. Huh? Five factors of action. Well, Krishna is one, right? Krishna is the ultimate factor. What are the other four factors?
Living entity.
Living entity. Okay, so here's the list. Adishtanam, that's the place. Adishtanam. Tata, also. Karta, that's the performer. The verse in chapter 5 says, Nakartritvam Nakarmani Lokasha. So don't think yourself as the doer, but there is the Karta. You know, things don't happen without living entities. So there's a conscious living entity involved, and he's endeavoring. Then there's the endeavor itself. That's cheshta. Then there's the instruments of action. Karanam. And there are various different kinds of endeavor. So, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Daivam. So there's the place, like something like the field of activities. Chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita. There's the place, there's the instruments, there's the performer, or the endeavorer, there's the endeavor, and there's the Supreme Lord. And all five must be there, take any one of them away, and you don't have action. So one can look at any one of these five and say, that's it, or that's it, or that's it, or that's it, or that's it, but it's incomplete. So what we're hearing in this purport is Maharaj Pariksit is concluding that Mother Earth and the bull are reluctant to name the Supreme Lord as the doer because he's the remote doer, rather things are being done by the material nature. Of course, they could say it's being done by material nature because they're shastrically tuned in and they can say, it's not him, it's material nature. But there's five factors. It's all five factors. They could say that. There wouldn't be any action without all these five factors, so we'll have to say all five factors. So, in the verse and in the purport, Maharaj Pariksit wants us to know, and the author of Vyasa wants us to know, that simply saying, he did it, is incomplete. Simply saying, ultimately the Lord sanctioned, and so we can say he did it. That's also incomplete, because he's sanctioning only because of the dynamics of the situation. We can say material nature did it, and that's also incomplete. So, he's saying, Maharaj Pariksit is saying that the Maya Shakti of the Lord, Atava Deva Mayaya, it's agochara. It's inconceivable. It's very difficult to discern. Yes, this is, you have spoken correctly. It's very difficult to discern because of the influence of this inconceivable potency of the Lord. The second statement is, the second part of the message here is very astounding, and that is Prabhupada's making the statement that in the age of Kali, or due to the influence of Kali, even the personality of religion becomes bewildered by the Lord's Maya Shakti. Just see how powerful is this age of Kali, one might say, conclude. Well, gee, if the personality of religion can be bewildered, what's the hope for us? Come on, let me just get out of here, or bail, or something. What to do?
they're protected. The answer is they and anyone else who, while the age of Kali is roaring on, and the influence, because of the age of Kali, the influence of Maya becomes magnified. The whole atmosphere of the age of Kali is magnified by the deluding energy, and the proportion of measurement is inexplicable. So that isn't saying let's bail. That says let's grab a hold of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead very tightly and securely. The Bhagavatam is not leading us down the path of frustration. It's leading us on the path of understanding how careful we must be, because it's the age of Kali. How attentive we must be, because even a moment's inattention and Maya rushes in. And this is Maharaj Parikshit is a super qualified Vaishnava. Of course, the personality religion is also, but he's in the play of the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit is taking the position of the undiluted. He's very clear what's going on, and that what's going on is the Maya Shakti of the Supreme Lord is very, very powerful in this age of Kali. Even apparently diluting the personality of religion. So, but at the same time, the previous verse, you, the personality of religion, are showing your true identity, your real qualification, by being very cautious on this principle of not finding fault or pointing to the perpetrator as the cause of my suffering is because he did it to me. That would be a very mistaken position. I was thinking when the class was given yesterday, the way the wording the Prabhupada presents this is basically he restates it, that if there's a mischief monger and one identifies as I'm the victim of this mischief monger, then one is drawn onto the same platform as that person. And therefore we find the karmic thing of the victim later, we find the victim often becomes the perpetrator of the same thing they're victimized by, because of how the illusory energy works. It's a very dramatic event that took place in Bhakti Tirtha Swami's life that he liked to describe regularly. That is, he was he went to Princeton University on a full scholarship at a time when it was during the civil rights movement, and especially Ivy League schools were like on the cutting edge of being, you know, with civil rights. So the government gave money to educational institutions that would find people that were qualified but didn't have the money to attend school. So he got one of those scholarships to go to Princeton University. He was a bright student, but not so many people can go to Princeton University. So he was there on a full scholarship, but there he was walking around campus, the only black man in a university of, you know, pretty white people, you know, and well-to-do puffy waffies. So it was difficult. It was difficult during his growing up in a ghetto of Cleveland, and it was also difficult at Princeton University. So when he graduated, he was the whatever you call it, president of his class, graduating class. He was the leader of a black rights movement, a black rights organization on campus. He was like, you know, a hero of his time. And around the time of his graduation, he met devotees, and he became, because of his true virtue, wasn't just that he was a bright uprising star from the ghettos. He was very elevated personality spiritually. He right away became attracted to Prabhupada, and in the course of time, he started associating with devotees and was practicing Krishna consciousness fully. He like left behind all whatever this, you know, possible bright future might have been of fame and glory and wealth and so forth, and just started living in a simple manner in an ashram. And then the first time that he met with Srila Prabhupada, it was a very expectant moment, one might imagine, for given that kind of a background that he had come from. And his first expression in a private discussion with Prabhupada was something to the effect of, you know, Prabhupada, you've rescued me from material existence, and I want to share something with you that I see as a problem. The problem is that in your organization there's racial discrimination, and my life has been fighting against racial discrimination, and here it is right in your organization. And from Bhakti Tirtha Swami's point of view, this is his spiritual master who he's sacrificed everything for to serve, and it's like a very pregnant moment. How is Prabhupada going to respond to this concern? And almost, you could say, challenge. And Prabhupada's response was very to the point. He said, this isn't good. He said, but your becoming disturbed by it puts you on the same platform as them. You're no better than them. He was getting on his case. And, you know, one might think that's, you know, press the eject button, because here goes this civil rights guy, and you just said, you know, you're no better than them. But he understood what Prabhupada meant. Somehow it penetrated right through. And he understood Prabhupada was right. And this is a principle that came up many times in Prabhupada's dealings with devotees that brought problems to his attention. I mean, it wasn't like a universal response, but a common response was holding the individuals responsible for their attitude about what was wrong, and rather putting it upon them, you do it better. Don't just find fault with somebody. By example, you show how to do it better. Otherwise, you're on the same platform. I mean, this principle that's in the previous verse. The destination intended for the perpetrator of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator, perhaps identifies with the perpetrator as the perpetrator, and the one thereby gets sucked into the material energy instead of remaining aloof and transcendental by being fixed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, conception of transcendence. So some thoughts from this morning's Bhagavatam verse. Any discussion? Yeah, and then you can break those down, because the material energy then manifests the senses or the instruments and the place. And the living entity is the performer, but also he makes some endeavor, different types of endeavors. So one, two, and two. Just further divided. Understanding you need to, and by practicing it. An example that Prabhupada gave is that the process of devotional service is very powerful. Gave the example of a razor blade. The razor blade is very sharp. With the razor blade you can shave your face, but a moment's inattention, immediately there's blood. So one must be very attentive. That's when performing devotional service, one must be very attentive. So, you know, cut yourself a few times and you'll be more attentive. We can learn by hearing, or we can learn by School of Hard Knocks. Prabhupada ki jai.